हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
श्री चैतन्य चरितमृत Madhya Lila, Chapter 9, Verse 1962-63, Page 102. When the spiritual master of the Buddhists began to chant the holy name of Krishna and submitted to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the people who were gathered there were astonished. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Satyadevi, then suddenly and playfully disappeared from everyone's sight, and it was impossible for anyone to find him. Verses 64-76. Lord Chaitanya continues his South Indian tour. 2964. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next arrived at Tirupati and Tirumala, where he saw a four-handed deity. Then he proceeded towards Venkata Hill. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has actually described the chronological order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit. The Tirupati temple is sometimes called Tirupatura. It is situated on the northern side of Arcot in the district of Chandragiri. It is a famous holy place of pilgrimage. In pursuit of his name, Venkateshwara, the four-handed Lord Vishnu, the deity of Balaji, with his potencies named Sri and Bhu, is located on Venkata Hill, about 8 miles from Tirupati. This Venkateshwara deity is the form of Lord Vishnu, and the place where he is situated is known as Venkatakshetra. There are many temples in South India, but this Balaji temple is especially opulent. A great fair is held there in the month of Ashvina, September and October. There is a railway station called Tirupati on the Southern Railway. Nimna Tirupati is located in the valley of Venkata Hill. There are several temples there also, among which are those of Govindaraj and Lord Ramachandra. 2965-66. After arriving at Tirupati, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Ramachandra. He offered his prayers and obeisances before Ramachandra, the descendant of King Raghu. Everywhere Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, his influence astonished everyone. He next arrived at the temple of Pananasringa. The Lord is so merciful. Srila Prabhupada. Pananasringa or Panakal Nasringa, Narasimha, is located in the district of Krishna in the hills known as Mangalagiri, about 7 miles from a city known as Vijayawada. One must climb 600 steps to reach the temple. It is said that when the Lord is offered food with syrup here, he does not take more than half. Within this temple is a conch shell presented by the late king of Tanjore, and it is said that this shell was used by Lord Krishna himself. During the month of March, a great fair takes place in this temple. 2967-68. In great ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered obeisances and prayers unto Lord Nrisimha. The people were astonished to see Lord Chaitanya's influence. Arriving at Shiva Kanchi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the deity of Lord Shiva. By his influence, he converted all the devotees of Lord Shiva into Vaishnavas. That's far out. Srila Prabhupada, Shiva Kanchi is also known as Kanchipuram, or the Benares of southern India. In Shiva Kanchi, there are hundreds of temples containing symbolic representations of Lord Shiva, and one of these temples is said to be very, very old. 2969. The Lord then visited a holy place known as Vishnukanchi. There he saw Lakshmi Narayana deities. He offered his respects and many prayers to please them. Srila Prabhupada. Vishnukanchi is situated about 5 miles away from Kanchipuram. It is here that Lord Varadaraj, another form of Lord Vishnu, resides. There is also a big lake known as Ananta Sarova. 2970-71. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at Vishnukanchi for 2 days, he danced and performed kirtan in ecstasy. When all the people saw him, they were converted into devotees of Lord Krishna. After visiting Trimalaya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Trikalahasti. There he saw Lord Shiva and offered him all respects and obeisances. Srila Prabhupada. Trikalahasti, or Sri Kalahasti. Oh, wait a minute. Oh. I got the Sri off the Prabhupada's name. Trikalahasti, or Sri Kalahasti, is situated about 22 miles east of Tirupati. On its western side is a river known as Suvarnamukhi. The temple of Trikalahasti is located on the southern side of the river. The place is generally known as Sri Kalahasti or Kalahasti and is famous for its temple of Lord Shiva. There he is called Vayulinga Shiva. 2972. At Pakshi Tirtha, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Shiva. Then he went to the Vridha Kola place of pilgrimage. Srila Prabhupada. Pakshi Tirtha, also called Tirukadi Kundam, is located 9 miles southeast of Chimlipat. It has a 500-foot elevation and is situated in a chain of hills known as Vedagiri or Vedachalam. There is a temple of Lord Shiva there, and the deity is known as Vedagirishvara. Two birds come there daily to receive food from the temple priest, and it is claimed that they have been coming since time immemorial. 2973. At Vridhakola, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Svetavaraha, the white boar incarnation. After offering him respects, the Lord visited the temple of Lord Shiva, wherein the deity is dressed with yellow garments. Srila Prabhupada. The temple of the white boar incarnation is situated at Vridhakola, or Sri Mushnam. The temple is made of stone and is located about 1 mile south of an oasis known as Balipitam. There is a deity of the white boar incarnation, above whose head Seshanaga serves as an umbrella. The temple of Lord Shiva mentioned here is situated in Pitambara, or Chidambaram, which lies 26 miles south of Kudalore. Yeah, Chidambaram, you always hear of that. The deity of Lord Shiva there is known as Akashalinga. The temple is situated on about 39 acres of land, and all this land is surrounded by a wall and by a road that is about 60 feet wide. So they must have a big festival around that road. Okay. When they say here's Akashalinga, means there's no linga there that you can see. Okay. 2974. After visiting the temple of Siali Bhairavi, a form of the goddess Durga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi, went to the bank of the river Kaveri. Srila Prabhupada. The temple of Siali Bhairavi is located in the Tanjore district, about 48 miles northeast of Tanjore city. There is a very much celebrated temple of Lord Shiva there, and also a very large lake. It is said that once a small boy who was a devotee of Lord Shiva came to that temple, and the goddess Durga, known as Bhairavi, gave him her breast to suck. After visiting this temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu... went to the bank of the river Kaveri, Koli Rana, via the district of Tiruchirappalli. Wow.
Trichy.
No wonder they say Trichy. Tiruchirappalli. Okay. The Kaveri is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.40 as a very pious river.
I think
the Tiruchirappalli is the original name, and probably Trichy might come from the British. Yes. It's just that they just shorten everything because, you know, they don't care. It's not that they care about other cultures and so therefore try to get it right. It's whatever they think you said, then they take that that's what it is. And even though you try to correct them, it's not that. No, they're already convinced that what they think is the best, and that's what it will be called. You know, so, yeah.
And even the place where Ramanandra met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is called Kovuru, because the British, they saw a lot of cows there, and they, Uru means the place, like village, the village of cows, so it became Kovuru. And there is no name like Kovuru before.
Oh, okay.
They came there only.
Yeah, it's just like that. It's just, they don't care. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that it is stated that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Shiali Bhairavi. But actually at Shiali, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Sri Bhu Varaha. Near Shiali in Chidambaram, there is a temple known as Sri Mushnam. In this temple, there is a deity of Sri Bhu Varaha. In the jurisdiction of Chidambara, there is a district known as South Arkata. The town of Shiali is in that district. There is a temple of Sri Bhu Varaha Deva nearby, not Bhairavi Devi. This is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's conclusion. 2975-78. The Lord then visited a place known as Go Samaja, where he saw Lord Shiva's temple. He then arrived at Vedavana, where he saw another deity of Lord Shiva and offered him prayers. Seeing the Shiva deity named Amrita Linga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered him obeisances. Thus he visited all the temples of Lord Shiva and converted the devotees of Lord Shiva into Vaishnavas. Because you're wondering, why is he going to all the Shiva temples? He's making them all into devotees. At Devasthana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Vishnu, and there he talked with the Vaishnavas in the disciplic succession of Ramanujacharya. These Vaishnavas are known as Sri Vaishnavas. At Kumbhakarna Kapala, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw a great lake and then the holy place named Shiva Kshetra, where a temple of Lord Shiva is located. Srila Prabhupada. Kumbhakarna is the name of the brother of Ravana. At the present moment, the city of Kumbhakarna Kapala is known as Kumbakonam. Oh, that, the farther south in, farther south in, what do you call it, Tamil Nadu. Okay.
It's 80 to 90 kilometers from Sri Lanka.
Okay, so this is all in the same area.
I think Kumbhakarna Kapala means the skull. Kapala.
Oh, okay. Well, they are Shaivites. Because the Brahmins that settled there, they were from that Somnath, whatever, in Gujarat. And then after, I think, the, the Mughals came and sacked it like, 17 or 19 times. They got fed up and just left.
And when Lord Ram hit Kumbhakarna, it said that his head flew all the way out of the ocean.
Oh.
I think maybe that.
Wow, okay. Srila Prabhupada, Kumbhakarna is the name of the brother of Ravana. At the present moment, the city of Kumbhakarna, Kapala, is known as Kumbakonam. It is situated 24 miles northeast of the city of Tanjore. There are 12 temples of Lord Shiva located at Kumbakonam. as well as four Vishnu temples and one temple of Lord Brahma. Shiva Kshetra within the city of Tanjore is situated near a big lake known as Shiva Ganga. At this place is a large temple of Lord Shiva known as Brihatishvara Shiva Mandira. 2979. After visiting the holy place named Shiva Kshetra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at Papanashana and there saw the temple of Lord Vishnu. Then he finally reached Sriranga Kshetra. Oh, really? Sriranga is that far south?
No, he came like a circle. He went to south and then.
Oh, they're coming back up. Okay. Srila Prabhupada. There are two holy places known as Papanashana. One is located 8 miles southwest of Kumbakonam, and the other lies near the river Tambadaparni in the district of Tirunelveli, 20 miles west of the city of Tirunelveli, Pala Makota. Sri Ranga Kshetra, Sri Rangam, is a very famous place.
It's not most short.
No, somehow or another, the farther south you go, the bigger the names become.
These languages are called Italian of the East.
Yeah, no, they're very, very good. Sri Ranga Kshetra, Sri Rangam, is a very famous place. It lies in the district of Tiruchirappalli, about 10 miles west of Kumbakonam and near the city of Tiruchirappalli on an island in the Kaveri River. The Sri Rangam temple is the largest in India and there are 7 walls surrounding it. There are also 7 roads leading to Sri Rangam. The ancient names of those roads are the road of Dharma, the road of the road of Raja Mahendra, the road of Kulakshekara, the road of Alinadana, the road of Tiruvikrama, the Tiruvidhi road of Madamadi Gaisha, and the road of Ada Ivai Vala Indana. The temple was founded before the reign of Dharmavarma, who reigned before Raja Mahendra. Many celebrated kings like Kulishekar and Yamunacharya, Alambandaru. Alambandaru resided in the temple of Sri Rangam. Yamunacharya, Sri Ramanuja, Sudar Shanacharya, and others also supervised this temple. The incarnation of the goddess of fortune, known as Goda Devi or Sri Andal, was one of the 12 Alvars, liberated persons known as Divya Suris. She was married to the deity of Lord Sri Ranganath, and later she entered into the body of the Lord. An incarnation of Karmuka named Tirumanga, also one of the Alvars. Tirumangai?
Yeah.
So that's Nila. Okay. Also one of the Alvars acquired some money by stealing and built the 4th boundary wall of Sri Rangam. It is said that in the year 289 of the age of Kali, the Alvar of the time of the name Tondara Pipadi was born. While engaged in devotional service, he fell victim to a prostitute. And Sri Ranganath, seeing his devotee so degraded, sent one of his servants with a golden plate to that prostitute. When the golden plate was discovered missing from the temple, there was a search, and it was found in the prostitute's house. When the devotee saw Ranganath's mercy upon this prostitute, his mistake was rectified. He then prepared the 3rd boundary wall of the Ranganath temple and cultivated a Tulsi garden there.
Do you know which Vishnu is it? Like Garbha Dakashaya Vishnu, like Shiva Dakashaya Vishnu? Because some say this, some say that. So,
He's Vishnu on Sesha. But more specifically, I don't know.
I think he's Karana Vishnu, and then Padmanabha Swami is Garbhadaksha.
Padmanabha Swami what?
Is Garbhadaksha.
Or Adhikesha is something like that. Garbhadaksha and Padmanabha Swami is Kshiradaksha, something.
He's one of them.
Google,
okay. Google Guru will give you an answer. No? You don't, the one-eyed guru you don't trust?
Now, do you have any more detail about how that person, Sri Andal, get married to the atheist or
Andal? Oh, Andal. Because she's one of the Lakshmis. Because all the Alwars are all associates of the Lord. Associates, paraphernalia, like the Tirumanga, he's the sword of Lord Vishnu. Like that, Lord Vishnu's sword. And so he was a dacoit. You know, what's his name?
Valmiki
was before. And so then, one day he's out on the road, he saw some girl, and he wanted to marry her, but she said only if you feed, I think, 1,000 Vaishnavas a day for 1 year or something. So then, you know, he got busy, and he was feeding 1,000 Vaishnavas for that year, and I think at the end of that. Then he was out on the road because, you know, he'd have to go out and collect, you know. And some were coming, like a palanquin and all this, and he stopped it, and it was Lakshmi Narayan, you know. But he didn't really understand. They had tons of gold. And so then he took all the gold, and it was everything, but there was a toe ring on Lakshmi that she wasn't giving. You know, they gave everything else, but that one, he said, what about that? He says, that my husband put on me at marriage. You want that, you have to take it off yourself. I'm not taking it off. So he tried to take this out. It wouldn't come off, so he got down with his teeth to try to get it. And by touching the lotus feet of Lakshmi, then he realized who they were now. So then he took up his devotional service, like that. And the girl, whoever it was, then she kind of disappeared. She just came to just get him to start doing this so he'd get the credit so that he could become a devotee. Like that. And so then he had three assistants, like that. One could walk on water. One could hide in his own shadow. I mean, he's there. He's got a shadow. He can hide in it. You can't see it. Yeah, and the third one could open any lock. Yes.
The one who could hide in his shadow, he can catch others by their shadow also.
Oh, he could catch their shadow. Okay. Yeah. So definitely, Marvel hasn't bumped into this one yet. Huh? And so then, and like that, then they would go out, and you know, at night they would collect, and in the day they would do their service at the temple. Like that. And so the fourth wall, it said, around Sri Rangam. And the fourth wall is very big. It's the biggest and highest wall. Big, big, massive, 20 foot high. You know, it means 6 meters high. You know, like a meter thick or so. You know, and it's been there since then. It's in perfect shape. So that was to protect the temple from dacoits. Sorry? Yes. Well, at least they have recently, unless the Russians shut it down. I don't know, but they do. Okay. Well, they used to live in all the temples, but then some of them closed because some enthusiastic devotees behaved badly. So
even non-devotees can go up till the last wall, the main wall. They can open.
If you have a letter. This kind of people, if they understand it, they will be in the option.
Oh, okay. Oh, in Sri Rangam? Oh, okay.
In Trivandrum.
No, I think that's... Oh, really?
Then I call Gaurkeshava,
so just tell him my name. Yeah, so Gaurkeshava. Yeah, Gaurkeshava. We've been looking for that guy.
But Pandava bro, Charachandra bro, they didn't say anything.
They didn't say.
And in fact, in Kanchipuram, Vishnu Kanchipuram, the pujari was so amazed by them and they made them stand in front for like 10 minutes. He was talking with them.
Okay, that's nice.
And he was glorifying.
Yeah. That's nice, yeah. Very good. You haven't been for a long time, so I don't know. Yeah, so you go where it says Hindu.
You can walk around the hall inside and you can go to the
bathroom. Oh. Okay.
The farm.
Yeah. And so Andal, then, she's one of the Lakshmis. And then, being one of the Lakshmis, she would make a garland for Sri Rangam every day. And she was making a very nice garland and all that. That was her service. I think it might have been her father was the pujari.
Yeah,
like
he's
that.
Also one of the Alwars.
He's also one of the Alwars. Okay. And so then, one day noticed that, you know, after she made the garland, she went in front of a mirror and put the garland on. And she'd check it out. Then she'd take it off and then it would go. So then he chastised her about this. And I think the deity then, you know, he wouldn't, I think then the next day, that it wasn't done like that, and the deity wouldn't accept the garland or something. So now, now they have a deity of her, that every day after the garland's made, it goes, it's put on her first, then it goes to the deity. Yeah. And then this, here you are. Oh, one of these guys. Then this other one, this Tondara Dipadi. He had his place there. He just sit in his ashram and like that. And because he had a very nice ashram in that. And one day, I think the most famous society girl there in that place, then she happened to be, you know, going by, saw the garden, went and sat in the garden. You know, it was a very nice garden and everything. And he'd every day pick flowers, I'm not sure, I think for the deity, either Sri Rangam or something like that, from his garden. And so he'd go, and this nice flower, like that. And then she's sitting there, you know, he sees, not a flower. And then he just goes on and like this. And she, what do you mean, not a flower? You know, it's like that. So she made a vow, I'll have him chanting my name. So then, next day, she changed the dress into this, something really simple, and came and did service and all that, and would always be around. And this way until at one point, then she didn't show up one day, so he's looking for her, like that. And then... you know, then they all said, who are you looking for? And he mentioned the name. And he said, what? What do you like that? And they pointed at this huge, like, palace where she lived. And he goes there, and they won't let him in or something. You know, they just toss him out, you know, because that was the whole point, just to insult him. And then at some point he's sitting outside in that, and then the lady, then they come in and say, you know, she comes and says, how you say? Oh, no, he can come in. He says, why now you're saying I can? Well, before I can't, you say, no money, you can't come in and everything. He says, no, but this little boy came and gave this pot or this plate, whatever it is. It's one of the, you know, which was solid gold, you know. And so then they understood, okay, you know, he's wealthy enough, he can come in. And he says, what little kid? And they described him, and he's going, hey, wait a minute. Says, can I see that? You know? And so when they brought it, it was one of the paraphernalia that he used every day for worshiping the deity. And by the description of the boy, then Sri Rangam himself had come and brought it. And then by seeing that, then he, you know, just became absorbed in the Lord again and went back to his service. So, yeah, so they have all kinds of wild, far out stories. Hmm? Yes, yes. Well, they're very popular, these stories. This one time when there were three Alwars together, they didn't know each other, they'd only heard, they'd never met. And there's this little temple, there's something very small, a little place, a little veranda or something. And a big storm is there. So one of them takes shelter there and he's laying down there, I guess because it's at night or something like that. And then after some time, someone else comes and says, you know, he wants to take shelter here. He says, well, there's not any space. There's only enough space for, you know, me to lay down. He says, if one can lay down, two can sit. You know, so the two sitting here. Then a third one comes. And they say, oh, there's only enough place here for the two of us to sit. He says, if two can sit, three can stand. So then they're there, and then they're talking, and then in their talking, then they figure out who each of them are. So that's where they all met. Yes.
And actually, it was dark, and they could not realize. And then there was a fourth person in between them.
A fourth?
It's Lord himself coming. Hear their talk.
He came to hear, yeah. Okay. Okay. That was some, how did they see? Some lightning or something?
They realized.
Okay. Yeah. So, far out stories.
So, the advice about what time?
I don't know. They go back for a long time.
The first three advas are during the time of Lord Krishna. And then, like, this is one, the fourth one, 29 years after the Kali began. Okay. And then all successions, like 1,500. The last one is, I think.
There's some thousands of years, I think, before Ramanuja, yeah. Or like that. Because then, not Ramanuja, no, the last one before, it was something they were way before, and then one was Nathamuni or something?
Yeah, Nathamuni.
He was much closer to Ramanuja. I don't know, did Ramanuja meet him, or he was still before? Mm-hmm. That he sat in meditation like that and recovered all the 4,000 Prabandhams that they had written. Because they had written, all written songs and prayers. You know, like Narottam Das Thakur, Bhakti Vinod. So those were all lost with time. But my meditation, he got them all back.
He's
yeah.
Grandfather of Yamunacharya.
He's a grandfather of Yamunacharya. Yeah, so that was quite close because they were way before. Because it was so long that people had lost them. And so then for Ramanujacharya, then the Prabandhas, the Vedanta Sutra, and the, I think, Vishnu Purana. Oh, no, Pancharatra. These three are his main, their studies. Means, yeah. So the philosophy, then the Vedanta Sutra, then Pancharatra for, you know, the lifestyle and everything, because it's also considered transcendental literature. It's not like, yeah. And then these Prabandhas. You know, so like for us, the songs of the Acharyas. Yes, Ramanujacharya. So that's what his teachings circle around. Okay, yeah, and he cultivated the Tulsi garden there, so he used to come out. There was also a celebrated disciple of Ramanujacharya's, known as Kuresha. Sri Rama Pillai was the son of Kuresha, and his son was Vagvijay Bhatta, whose son was Vedavyasa Bhatta, or Sri Sudarshan Acharya. When Sudarshan Acharya was an old man, the Muslims attacked the temple of Ranganath and killed about 1,200 Sri Vaishnavas. At that time, the deity of Ranganath was transferred to the temple of Tirupati in the kingdom of Vijayanagar. The governor of... Governor of Jingi?
Jingi, I think.
Jingi. Gopan Arya brought Sri Ranganath from the temple of Tirupati to a place known as Simha Brahma, where the Lord was situated for 3 years. In the year 193 Shaka, AD 1371, the deity was reinstated in the Ranganath temple. On the eastern wall of the Ranganath temple is an inscription written by Veda, Vedanta Deshika, relating how Ranganath was returned to the temple. So there's all kinds of, because it was a main seat. So, you know, everybody would attack. Buddhists would attack. The Jains would attack. Like that. One time, because it's situated on an island between the river just came up and flooded the place. So, you know, no one could find the temple. So, you know, different pastimes were there. Okay. Versus, is this the time, is this also the time, there was also, of course, Ramanujacharya ended up in Melkote for a while because they weren't at Sri Ranga. This is this pastime, or that's something, that's a different one?
That's different.
Oh, the Shaivites did though.
This is the much later one. 200 years, 300 years.
Okay. The Lord spends Chaturmasya with the Venkatabhata, with Venkatabhata and family. 2980 to 82. After bathing in the river Kaveri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the temple of Ranganath and offered his ardent prayers and obeisances. Thus he felt himself successful. In the temple of Ranganath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced in ecstatic love of Godhead. Seeing his performance, everyone was struck with wonder. A Vaishnava known as Venkatabhata then invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home with great respect. Srila Prabhupada, Sri Venkatabhata was a Vaishnava Brahmana and an inhabitant of Sri Ranga Kshetra. He belonged to the disciplic succession of Sri Ramanujacharya. Sri Ranga is one of the places of pilgrimage in the province of Tamil Nadu. The inhabitants of that province do not retain the name Venkata. It is therefore supposed that Venkatabhata did not belong to that province, although he may have been residing there for a long time. Venkatabhata was in a branch of the Ramanuja Sampradaya known as Wadagalai. They were Wadagalais. Okay. He had a brother in the Ramanuja Sampradaya known as Sripad Prabodhananda Saraswati. The son of Venkatabhata was later known in the Gaudiya Sampradaya as Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and he established the Radharaman temple in Vrindavan. More information about him may be found in a book known as Bhakti Ratnakar by Narahari Chakrabarti. 2983 to 96. Sri Venkatabhata took Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home. After he washed the Lord's feet, all the members of his family drank the water. After offering lunch to the Lord, Venkatabhata submitted that the period of Chaturmasya had already arrived. Venkatabhata said, "Please be merciful to me and stay at my house during Chaturmasya. Speak about Lord Krishna's pastimes and kindly deliver me by your mercy." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained in the house of Venkatabhata for 4 continuous months. The Lord passed his days in great happiness, enjoying the transcendental mellow of discussing Lord Krishna's pastimes. While there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his bath in the river Kaveri and visited the temple of Sri Ranga. Every day the Lord also danced in ecstasy. The beauty of Lord Chaitanya's body and his ecstatic love of God were witnessed by everyone. Many people used to come see him, and as soon as they saw him, all their unhappiness and distress vanished. Many hundreds of thousands of people from various countries came to see the Lord, and after seeing him, they all chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Indeed, they did not chant anything but the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and all of them became Lord Krishna's devotees. Thus, the general populace was astonished. All the Vaishnava Brahmins residing in Sri Ranga Kshetra invited the Lord to their homes. Indeed, he had an invitation every day. Each day, the Lord was invited by a different Brahmana, but some of the Brahmanas did not get the opportunity to offer him lunch because the period of Chaturmasya came to an end. In the holy place of Sri Ranga Kshetra, a Brahmin Vaishnava used to visit the temple daily and recite the entire text of the Bhagavad Gita. The Brahmana regularly read the 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita in great transcendental ecstasy. But because he could not pronounce the words correctly, people used to joke about him. Due to his incorrect pronunciation, people sometimes criticized him and laughed at him. But he did not care. He was full of ecstasy due to reading the Bhagavad Gita and was personally very happy. While reading the book, the Brahmana experienced transcendental bodily transformations. The hairs on his body stood on end. Tears welled up in his eyes. And his body trembled and perspired as he read. Seeing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy. Although the Brahmana could not pronounce the words very well due to illiteracy, he still experienced ecstatic symptoms while reading the Bhagavad Gita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to observe these symptoms, and this indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased by devotion, not by erudite scholarship. Even though the words were imperfectly pronounced, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna himself, did not think this very serious. Rather, the Lord was pleased by the bhava, devotion. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.11, this is confirmed. Tad bhag vishargo janatagha viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abhadhavatyapi naman yanantasya yashon kitani kitani yat shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, and pastimes of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. The purport to this verse may be considered for more information on this subject from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.11. Udriti, from the purport of to Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.11, as recommended by Srila Prabhupada. Right, so Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Charitamrita is recommending his purport to 1.5.11 Bhagavatam, and so now we are reading that on his recommendation. It is a qualification of the great thinkers to pick up the best even from the worst. It is said that the intelligent man should pick up nectar from a stock of poison, should accept gold even from a filthy place, should accept a good and qualified wife even from an obscure family, and should accept a good lesson even from a man or from a teacher who comes from the untouchables. These are some of the ethic instructions for everyone in every place without exception. But a saint is far above the level of an ordinary man. He is always absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord, because by broadcasting the holy name and fame of the Supreme Lord, the polluted atmosphere of the world will change. And as a result of propagating the transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, people will become sane in their transactions. We know that our honest attempt to present this great literature conveying the transcendental messages for reviving the God consciousness of the people in general and re-spiritualizing the world atmosphere is fraught with many difficulties. Our presenting this matter in inadequate language, especially a foreign language, will certainly fail. And there will be many literary discrepancies despite our honest attempt to present in the proper way. But we are sure that with all our faults in this connection, the seriousness of the matter will be taken into consideration. And the leaders of society will still accept this due to its being an honest attempt to glorify the Almighty God. When there is fire in a house, the inmates of the house go out to help from the neighbors, to get help from the neighbors who may be foreigners, and yet without knowing the language, the victims of the fire express themselves, and the neighbors understand the need, even though not expressed in the same language. The same spirit of cooperation is needed to broadcast this transcendental message of the Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the polluted atmosphere of the world. After all, it is a technical science of spiritual values, and thus we are concerned with the techniques and not with the language. If the techniques of this great literature are understood by the people of the world, there will be success. We are sure, therefore, that everyone in human society will welcome Srimad Bhagavatam, even though it is now presented with so many faults, for it is recommended by Sri Narada, who has very kindly appeared in this chapter. 2.9.97-98. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the Brahmana, "My dear sir, why are you in such ecstatic love? Which portion of the Bhagavad Gita gives you such transcendental pleasure?" The Brahmana replied, "I am illiterate and therefore do not know the meaning of the words. Sometimes I read the Bhagavad Gita correctly and sometimes incorrectly. But in any case, I am doing this in compliance with the orders of my spiritual master." Srila Prabhupada, this is a good example of a person who had become so successful that he was able to capture the attention of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even while reading the Bhagavad Gita incorrectly. His spiritual activities did not depend on material things such as correct pronunciation. Rather, his success depended on strictly following the instructions of his spiritual master. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata gurau tasyaite katita hyarta prakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of the Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.23. Actually, the meanings of the words of the Bhagavad Gita Srimad Bhagavatam are revealed to one strictly following the orders of the spiritual master. They are also revealed to one who has equal faith in the Supreme Lord. In other words, being faithful to both Krishna and the spiritual master is the secret of success in spiritual life. 2.9.99-102. The Brahman continued, "Actually, I only see Lord Krishna sitting on a chariot as Arjuna's charioteer. Taking the reins in his hand, he appears very beautiful and blackish. While seeing Lord Krishna sitting in a chariot and instructing Arjuna, I am filled with ecstatic happiness. As long as I read the Bhagavad Gita, I simply see the Lord's beautiful features. It is for this reason that I am reading the Bhagavad Gita, and my mind cannot be distracted from this." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the Brahmana, "Indeed, you are an authority in the reading of Bhagavad Gita. Whatever you know constitutes the real purport of the Bhagavad Gita." Srila Prabhupada, "According to the Shastras, Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grahyam Nabhudya Nachat Ti Kaya. One should understand the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam by hearing them from a real devotee. One cannot understand them simply by erudite scholarship or sharp intelligence. It is also said, Ita dita cha yenapi bhakti bhavena chaitasa. Veda shastra puranani tena ditani sarvasaha. To one who reads the Bhagavad Gita with faith and devotion, the essence of Vedic knowledge is revealed." Exactly. And according to Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.23, Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata gurau tasyaite katita yarta prakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. All Vedic literatures are to be understood with faith and devotion, not by mundane scholarship. We have therefore presented Bhagavad Gita as it is. There are many so-called scholars and philosophers who read the Bhagavad Gita in a scholarly way. They simply waste their time and mislead those who read their commentaries. 2.9.103-116. After saying this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced the Brahmana, and the Brahmana, catching the lotus feet of the Lord, began to cry. The Brahman said, "Upon seeing you, my happiness is doubled. I take it that you are the same Lord Krishna." The mind of the Brahman was purified by the revelation of Lord Krishna, and therefore he could understand the truth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in all details. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then taught the Brahman very thoroughly and requested him not to disclose the fact that he was Lord Krishna himself. That Brahman became a great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and for four continuous months he did not give up the Lord's company. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained at the house of Venkatabhata and constantly talked with him about Lord Krishna. In this way, he was very happy. Being a Vaishnava in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, Venkatabhata worshipped the deities of Lakshmi Narayana. Seeing his pure devotion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. Constantly associating with each other, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkatabhata gradually developed a friendly relationship. Indeed, sometimes they laughed and joked together. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the Bhattacharya, "Your worshipable goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, always remains on the chest of Narayana, and she is certainly the most chaste woman in this creation. However, my lord is Sri Krishna, a cowherd boy who is engaged in tending cows. Why is it that Lakshmi, being such a chaste wife, wants to associate with my lord? Just to associate with Krishna, Lakshmi abandoned all transcendental happiness in Vaikuntha, and for a long time accepted vows and regulated principles and performed unlimited austerities." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, "O Lord, quote, O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya attained such an opportunity to be touched by the dust of your lotus feet. Even the goddess of fortune, for this end, performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and observing austere vows. Indeed, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya got such an opportunity." Footnote 38. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.16.36 was spoken by the wives of Kaliya serpent. Venkatabhata then said, quote, "Lord Krishna and Lord Narayana are one and the same, but the pastimes of Krishna are more relishable due to their sportive nature. Since Krishna and Narayana are the same personality, Lakshmi's association with Krishna does not break her vow of chastity. Rather, it was in great fun that the goddess of fortune wanted to associate with Lord Krishna." So this is, you know.
The fact that Lakshmi Devi gave an extra desire to associate with Lord Krishna, does that mean that she gets to hear this constantly?
Gets to hear?
Yeah.
They must, because all these different things are all discussed. You know, it's like in Dwarka, they discuss these things, and you know, so these things will be there, because within these sampradayas, they also, you know, the pastimes of Krishna, because they're in Bhagavatam and everything like that, so they worship. Remember one day, what was it? I don't know, maybe in the 90s or something, we were at Udupi, and went into the temple for darshan. You know, you have to go around the back, and there's that little windows there, those little small holes. And so you can only see through one of them. You know, you can't stand back and look. So you go up close and look through one. And when I looked in, I looked in and I was looking, where's the deity? Because Udupi Krishna was dressed as a gopi on a swing, like that. And then at that time, some older lady came in like that, and she was looking through one of the other corners like that, and she was saying all kinds of prayers and things like that. So, you know, you'll have those that are in the Sri Madhu Sampradaya that specifically just worship Krishna. Be like Andal, she just worshiped Radha and Krishna. Okay. So, sometimes when we go, if you meet some of these scholars and that, then they sometimes joke that Andal was actually an ISKCON devotee. You know, because she worshipped Radha and Krishna. But, three of the Alwars wrote poems on Krishna in Vrindavan. But she only wrote on that. The others wrote some on that. But most wrote on, you know, Vishnu.
It is the same lady now that we are so to face Andal?
Andal, yes, the same.
One.
Same.
So, among the Alvar, there is only one woman.
Only one woman? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be.
Next information.
I'm not sure if the Ramanuja, the Sri Sampradaya is working on that one. Yeah, so they don't have a problem there. But you know, if they're you know, like Venkatabhata, then you know, they're so, you know, nicely well-read and devotional that they see it's just all part of the pastime. Srila Prabhupada. This is the answer to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's question. And from this we can understand that Venkatabhata knew the truth. He told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Narayan is a form of Krishna associated with transcendental opulence. Although Krishna is two-armed and Narayan four-armed, there's no difference in the person. They one and the same. Narayana is as beautiful as Krishna, but Krishna's pastimes are more sportive. It is not that the sportive pastimes of Krishna make him different from Narayana. Lakshmi's desiring to associate with Krishna is perfectly natural. In other words, it is understandable that a chaste woman wants to associate with her husband in all his different dresses. Therefore, one should not criticize Lakshmi for wanting to associate with Krishna. 2.9.117-126. Venkatabhata continued, according to transcendental realization, there is no difference between the forms of Narayana and Krishna. Yet in Krishna there is a special transcendental attraction due to the conjugal mellow, and consequently he surpasses Narayana. This is the conclusion of the transcendental mellows. Footnote 39. This is a verse quoted by Venkatabhata, is also found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.59. The goddess of fortune considered that her vow of chastity would not be damaged by a relationship with Krishna. Rather, by associating with Krishna, she can enjoy the benefit of the rasa dance. Venkatabhata further explained, Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is also an enjoyer of transcendental bliss. Therefore, if she wanted to enjoy herself with Krishna, what fault is there? Why are you joking so about this? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, I know that there is no fault on the part of the goddess of fortune, but still she could not enter into the rasa dance. We hear this from the revealed scriptures. Quote, when Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the rasa lila, the gopis were embraced around the neck by the Lord's arms. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or other consorts in the spiritual planets. Girls whose bodily luster and aroma exactly resemble the beauty and fragrance of the lotus flowers. Oh, because here it went spiritual world, next was spiritual planets. Okay. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or the other consorts in the spiritual world. Nor was such a thing ever imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, girls whose bodily luster and aroma exactly resemble the beauty and fragrance of lotus flowers. And what to speak of worldly women, who may be very, very beautiful according to material estimation. Footnote 40. This is the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.47.60. But can you tell me why the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, could not enter the rasa dance? The authorities of Vedic knowledge could enter the dance and associate with Krishna. Quote, great sages conquer the mind and senses by practicing the mystic yoga system and controlling the breath. Thus engaging in mystic yoga, they see the super soul within their hearts and ultimately enter into impersonal Brahman. But even the enemies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead attain that position simply by thinking of the Supreme Lord. However, the damsels of Braja, the gopis, being attracted by the beauty of Krishna, simply wanted to embrace him and his arms, which are like serpents. Thus the gopis ultimately tasted the nectar of the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, we Upanishads can also taste the nectar of his lotus feet by following in the footsteps of the gopis. Footnote 41. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.23. But so he's saying is that means their Upanishads, you know, that how did they enter the rasa dance? She's Lakshmi. How is it she did? Having been asked by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu why the goddess of fortune could not enter into the rasa dance, whereas the authorities on Vedic knowledge could, Venkatabhata replied, I cannot enter into the mysteries of this behavior. Venkatabhata then said, I am an ordinary human being. Since my intelligence is very limited and I am very easily agitated, my mind cannot enter into the deep ocean of the pastimes of the Lord. Because you start to enter, but then it gets distracted by something and you're not doing anything. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. You know the purport of your activities. And the person whom you enlighten can also understand your pastimes, right? So you know, and those who enlighten, they'll also know. So if you enlighten, we'll know also. Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead and his pastimes cannot be understood by blunt material senses. One has to purify the senses by rendering transcendental loving service unto the Lord. When the Lord is pleased and reveals himself, one can understand the transcendental form, name, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. This is confirmed in the Katha Upanishad 2.23 and Mundaka Upanishad 3.23. 2.23 and 3.23. Right. Yam evaisha vrinute tena labhyas tashyaisha atma vrinute tanum swam. Anyone who is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead can understand his transcendental name, qualities, form, and pastime. So it's interesting, the same verse, sometimes the same verse is in different Upanishads, sometimes it's exactly the same, sometimes there's a word different, like that, but here they're the same, but interesting. Katha Upanishad 2.23, Mundaka Upanishad 3.23, like that. So sometimes you do. But these are just, you know, how you say, the Lord's, what happened?
I can put my version on all
now. You don't have a SIM card now?
Yes, Maharaj.
Woo, moving up. So did it switch over?
Yes, Maharaj. Hope so.
It's running. It's running?
Yeah.
Okay. So they can probably hear, can't see anything, but. To step up.
It's connecting.
Yeah, so these aspects of these special poetics and stuff that they'll write in like this based on the numbers and that. Like there was one devotee who did a similar thing with the Bhagavad Gita. You notice that the numbers, when you reverse them in the chapters to the other, then they were saying the similar thing and all these things. So he wrote a whole thing on this, and he was taking it. This is the real meaning of the Gita, the real rahasya. But no, that's just a very nice poetics of how Krishna so expertly can speak that he can match everything up like that. It's what's trying to be said in the verses, and you know what's explained in the purports. That's the real important meaning. And the other is that you try to connect up all the numbers and all that like that, then that's not quite important, you know. They say, just means most likely last life he was, they say, sitting around someplace with an overly large hat and, how you say, two seekers on each side of his head and dealing with the Kabbalah. And so this life, then, he's doing the same thing to the Gita. You know, so at least he moved a little forward, but yeah. So we have to, these mechanics like this, just you're so nice in your poetics that you could do something where you say the verse in one way and then you're able to reverse or something the chanda and say it so, say the next one so it's backwards. These are just expertise and presentation, but it's what you're presenting is what's important. So one shouldn't get distracted by these kind of things. It's nice if they're there, but don't take it that, oh, see, here, this is where the real thing is. Yeah, don't do that. Anyone who is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead can understand his transcendental name, qualities, form, and pastimes. 29.127 to 133. The Lord replied, Lord Krishna has a special characteristic. He attracts everyone's heart by the mellow of his personal conjugal love. Yeah. Lord Krishna has a special characteristic. He attracts everyone's heart by the mellow of his personal conjugal love. By following the footsteps of the inhabitants of the planet known as Vrajaloka or Goloka Vrindavan, One can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. However, in that planet, the inhabitants do not know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There, someone may accept him as a son. Someone sometimes bind him to a grinding mortar. Someone else may accept him as an intimate friend, and attaining victory over him, playfully mount his shoulders. The inhabitants of Brajabhumi know Krishna as the son of Maharaj Nanda, the king of Brajabhumi, and they consider that they can have no relationship with the Lord in the rasa of opulence. One who worships the Lord by following the footsteps of the inhabitants of Brajabhumi attains him in the transcendental planet of Braja, for he is known as the son of Maharaj Nanda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then quoted, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to those devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self." Footnote 42. This verse, also given Madhya Lila 8.227, is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.21. The authorities in the Vedic literature, who are known as the Shruti Ganas, worship Krishna in the ecstasy of the gopis and followed in their footsteps. Srila Prabhupada. The authorities in the Vedic literature, who are known as the Shruti Ganas, desired to enter into the Lord's Krishna's rasa dance. Therefore, they began to worship the Lord in the ecstasy of the gopis. In the beginning, however, they were unsuccessful. When they could not enter the dance simply by thinking of Krishna in the ecstasy of the gopis, they actually accepted bodies like those of the gopis. They even took birth in Brajabhumi just like the gopis, and consequently became engrossed in the ecstasy of the gopis' love. In this way, they were allowed to enter into the rasa dance of the Lord. 29.134.137. Yes?
So this means they meditated in previous life, then they were born in Gokul, and then they had the opportunity to enter the rasa.
Yes, and being born as gopis. Before, they just meditated in that, but they couldn't enter.
As personified there.
Yes. Because the point is unless you come to that point of Purvarag, then that the focus won't be enough. So how can you enter the rasa? And you need a spiritual form to do that. So then they took the... So we'll see how it goes, but seeing some hints here of what's happening by Lakshmi, she doesn't change into the form of the gopi, she still maintains the worship of him in opulence. Like that. Yes?
I think the condition was, first, you have to perform austerities. You have to give up your husband. Then you have to marry a new husband. And once you marry to him, you have to give him a divorce. So you can enter the rest.
Okay. 29.134.137. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The personified authorities on the Vedic hymns acquired bodies like those of the gopis and took birth in Brajabhumi. In those bodies, they were allowed to enter into the Lord's Rasa Lila dance. Lord Krishna belongs to the cowherd community, and the gopis are the dearmost lovers of Krishna. Although the wives of the denizens of the heavenly planets are most opulent within the material world, neither they nor any other woman in the material universe can acquire Krishna's association. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, wanted to enjoy Krishna at the same time retain her spiritual body in the form of Lakshmi. However, she did not follow in the footsteps of the gopis in her worship of Krishna. Vyasadeva, the supreme authority on Vedic literature, composed the verse beginning Nayam Sukapo Bhagavan, because no one can enter into the Rasa Lila dance in any body other than that of a gopi. Right, so even if you put on a sari, that's not quite enough.
Ah. And if you're living girl and you're against a tree,
uh-huh.
And then all the gopis are, "Who are you? What's your father's name? What village you come from?
Yeah. That's the point of, because someone says, oh, why do you have to take birth in Braja? Right? You know, why can't I just, I decide I'm just going to be in the rasa dance? The whole point is that when people meet you, that's exactly what they're going to ask. Where are you from? Who are your parents? Who are you married to? This, that. You can't say anything. What are you going to say? So that's why you take birth there. And so now you can say all those things. Srila Prabhupada, only when one regains his original spiritual body can he enter into the spiritual kingdom. As far as the Rasalila pastimes of the Lord are concerned, it is futile for one who is within the material world to attempt to imitate the Lord's dances. One has to attain a spiritual body like that of a gopi to enter into the pastimes of the Rasalila. In the Nayam Sukapo verse, the devotees are referred to as Bhakti Mat, that is, fully engaged in devotional service and devoid of material contamination. One cannot enter into Krishna's Rasalila dance simply by artificially imitating it or artificially thinking oneself a Sakhi and dressing up like one. Krishna's Rasalila dance is completely spiritual. It has nothing to do with material contamination. Therefore, no one can enter into this pastime by artificial material means. That is the instruction of the Nayam Sukapo verse, and it must be strictly understood. 29138144. Yeah. Yes. Before this explanation was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Venkatabhata thought that Sri Narayan was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thinking in this way, Venkatabhata believed that worship of Narayan was the supreme form of worship, superior to all other processes of devotional service. For it was followed by the Sri Vaishnava disciples of Ramanujacharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had understood this misconception of Venkatabhata, and in order to correct it, the Lord talked so much in a joking way. The Lord then continued, "My dear Venkatabhata, please do not continue doubting. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this is the conclusion of the Vedic literatures. Lord Narayana, the opulent form of Krishna, attracts the minds of the goddess of fortune and her followers. Quote, all these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. In every age, he protects... In every age, he protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. Footnote 43. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28. Because Krishna has four extraordinary qualities not possessed by Lord Narayana, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, always desires his company. Okay. Not quite as bright, right? That means it's... It means local current. Previously, the light was very bright, so that's the generator.
Generator.
Yeah, when it's a little less bright, that means it's the local current.
Are we connected to generator?
Here, yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, then, yeah, that's why things go so smoothly.
This is serious,
yeah. No, it means... The generator line over here first came to the Gurukul. It was the Gurukul line. And then everybody else connected up to it. Huh? They all kept it, were taking from it, and then eventually they put it, and they had to put in the second line because it wasn't enough. But otherwise, originally it came over here just for the Gurukul. Because originally we had no electricity at all. So then...
And then you had only generator.
No. But then when that line came, then we were connected to the inside current. Otherwise, here there was no electricity, no lights, no fans. We just used those kerosene lanterns. That's all.
How long?
I don't know, a couple of years. Like that. So you had, you know, every evening someone would light all the lamps, take them around, and then in the morning they collect them, clean them, put the oil, cut the wicks, and out, keep them ready. Like that, so. Yeah, no Wi-Fi. Strange, but it's true. It's amazing, you know, it's like that, you know.
But all the news spread anyway, but locally.
Yeah, but we were over here. No one's here. No kid was here from the community. Yeah, they were all from other parts of Bengal and India. And they all lived in the ashram, so we just ran, you know, every day, all day. There was no breaks, no nothing. Yeah. So, yeah, there were no day students, nothing. So only once we were over there, I think it was 2006, we started with some day students. Okay. So. No. Because at first, when we first started the day students, the ashram students joined the day students. But then after 2 years, they all came back. So. No. But the little ones are all day students. Okay. Srila Prabhupada, Lord Narayana has 60 transcendental qualities. Over and above these, Krishna has 4 extraordinary transcendental qualities absent in Lord Narayana. These 4 qualities are, 1, his wonderful pastimes, which are compared to an ocean. 2, his association in the circle of the supreme devotees in conjugal love, the gopis. 3, his playing on the flute, whose vibration attracts the 3 worlds, and 4, his extraordinary beauty, which surpasses the beauty of the 3 worlds. Lord Krishna's beauty is unequaled and unsurpassed. 2:9, 145-146. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, you have recited the sloka beginning with Siddhantatas Prabhedhe P. That very verse is evidence that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Quote, according to the transcendental realization, there's no difference between the forms of Krishna and Narayana. Yet in Krishna, there's a special transcendental attraction due to the conjugal mellow, and consequently, he surpasses Narayana. This is the conclusion of transcendental mellow. So Venkatabhata had quoted that first. You know, he was showing, no, but she's chaste because Krishna is also the same person. Srila like Prabhupada. This is a verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1259. Here, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj says that Lord Chaitanya spoke the verse to Venkatabhata, and earlier he said that Venkatabhata spoke it to the Lord. But since the conversation took place long, long before the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu was composed, the question may be raised as to how either of them quoted the verse. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura explains that this verse and many others like it were current amongst devotees long before the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu was composed. Thus, devotees would always quote them and explain their purport in ecstasy. And then these are quoted within, because Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu will have its own verses, but it will very regularly quote from other scriptures in that, these verses.
Yeah. So many verses which are part of Lord Chaitanya's conversation, we find them in the Nectar Devotion or some of them just one.
Yes.
So we actually create them and we speak, and then they took from these teachings and elaborate on them.
Yes. Yeah, they'll either take like that, or like in the case of this one, it's a verse that's around before. So it's just like that verse, Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata. Everybody uses it, but it's not known where it's from. So sometimes there's a verse that comes up. Everybody knows the verse. It's so exact and so perfect. It's quoted and it's used, but where it comes from. Or, you know, or it could have been, it was from a Vedic literature that now no one has the book. Like so many of these books that are quoted, like by Madhvacharya, then as it comes later, they weren't even around. So they were. He saw them, or they were in his library. But now they're not present.
Chaturveda Shika.
Yeah, Chaturveda Shika and stuff. So, yeah, it happens. They just
Yes. This type of verses especially are from Kavya literatures, which are like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoting that verse when he was chanting on the Rath car. That is from the Kavya literature. Especially Lord Krishna's pastimes generally are.
Nice poems have been written in those. Yeah, so there'll be, you know, some famous poems. You know, it's just like we'll quote from things going on nowadays, you know. Or some older ones, you know, it could be recent, could be 100, 200 or more. You know, it's that there's certain things that you always quote, like, you know, et tu gute, you know, and these things, it just, everybody knows them. And so then, that, like that, and so then they become established. We don't know it's them, but we're quoting them. Yes, yes. Okay. 29147 to 155. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, attracts the mind of the Goddess of Fortune, but Lord Narayana cannot attract the minds of the gopis. This proves the super excellence of Krishna. To say nothing of Lord Narayana personally, Lord Krishna himself appeared as Narayana just to play a joke on the gopis. Although Krishna assumed the forearm form of Narayana, he could not attract the serious attention of the gopis in ecstatic love. Quote, once Lord Sri Krishna playfully manifested himself as Narayana with four victorious hands and a very beautiful form. When the gopis saw this exalted form, however, their ecstatic feelings were crippled. A learned scholar, therefore, cannot understand the gopis' ecstatic feelings, which are firmly fixed upon the original form of Lord Krishna as the son of Nanda Maharaj. The wonderful feeling of the gopis in ecstatic paramarasa with Krishna constitute the greatest mystery in spiritual life. Footnote 44. This is a verse spoken by Narad Muni in the Lalita Madhava Nataka 6.14, a drama written by Srila Rupa Goswami. Right? In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deflated the pride of Venkatabhata. But just to make him happy again, he spoke as follows. The Lord pacified Venkatabhata by saying, actually, whatever I have said is by the way of jest. Now you can hear from me the conclusion of the Shastras, in which every Vaishnava devotee has firm faith. There's no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Narayana, for they are of the same form. Similarly, there is no difference between the gopis and the Goddess of Fortune, for they are also of the same form. The goddesses of fortune enjoy the association of Krishna through the gopis. One should not differentiate between the forms of the Lord, for such a conception is offensive. There's no difference between the transcendental forms of the Lord. Different forms are manifest due to different attachments to different devotees. Actually, the Lord is one, but he appears in different forms just to satisfy his devotees. Okay, so because there's devotees that want to worship him that way, so he has that form, so they can reciprocate in that love. But it's the same person. Like that, just different flavor. You know, how the rasas unfold will have their uniqueness. Srila Prabhupada. In the Brahma Samhita 5.33, it is stated, Advaitam achutam anadim anantarupam adyam purana purusham putnavayovanam cha. The Lord is Advaita, without differentiation. There's no difference between the forms of Krishna, Rama, Narayana, and Vishnu. All of them are one. Sometimes, foolish people ask, hold on really good. Foolish people ask whether when we chant Rama in the Hare Krishna mantra, we refer to Lord Ramachandra or Lord Balaram. If a person says that the name Rama and the name Hare Krishna Mahamantra refers to Balaram, a foolish person may become angry because to him the name Rama refers to Lord Ramachandra. Actually, there's no difference between Balaram and Lord Rama. It does not matter whether one refers to Balaram or to Lord Ramachandra when chanting Hari Rama, for there is no difference between them. However, it is offense to think that Balaram is superior to Lord Ramachandra or vice versa. Neophyte devotees do not understand this Shastra conclusion, and consequently they unnecessarily create an offensive situation. In the text 154, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clarified this in a very lucid way. Ishvaratve Veda Manile Haya Aparad. It is offensive for one to differentiate between the forms of the Lord. On the other hand, one should not think that the forms of the Lord are the same as the forms of the demigods. This is certainly offensive, as confirmed by the Vaishnava Tantra. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudrari Daivatahi Samatvenaiva Viksheta Sapashandi Bhavet Ruvam. A Pashandi is one who considers the great demigods, such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. Hari Bhakti Vilas 7117. The conclusion is that we should neither differentiate between the forms of the Lord nor equate the forms of the Lord with the forms of the demigods or human beings. Yes?
This is actually a very solid point, and we discussed it already previously that in terms of platform, they're all the same.
Yes.
It means absolute.
Yes.
But then in terms of rasa, there's a relativity of position. Means Krishna is still supreme because he has a four extra qualities.
Yes, yes.
And Narayan doesn't have.
But it's the same person.
Yes.
That's the important part. It's the same person. But it's just that flavor is different because those devotees, they can appreciate those qualities in that way. And then they can act in that capacity. While the others then, that because that aspect of lordship and majesty, then they're attracted by that aspect, but they're the same. So you're saying neophytes may say, oh, this one and that one and all these things, but no, it's they're the same.
Because as you described many times, the Brahma Samhita mentions those who worship Krishna, but through Vaidhi Bhakti, they go to Lord Goloka, they don't go to God.
Yes.
Only those who worship him, same form,
yes,
but the method is Raga.
Yes.
Then they go to God.
Yes. So that's why we follow in the footsteps of the Braja Gopis, following Rupa Goswami. Mm-hmm. So even if we're performing sadhana, but our intent is that, so that's the direction we'll go. Well, others don't necessarily make a distinction, and it'll be the sweeter pastimes of the Supreme Lord, and so then that'll have that aspect because it'll have that opulence to it. So those even from the you know Shris and Madhvas and like that, who you know their main deity is Krishna, and even Radha Krishna in Vrindavan, they'll go to that aspect. So it's Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhakti Jai Nitai Gaura Bhakti.